The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Jen Coburn and I'm delighted you could join us this evening. Now here on The Parents Show, we cover a wide range of topics, anything family related. Often that is about community events or services, but tonight we wanted to bring it right back home, literally. So tonight we're talking all about interior design when it comes to family living. And joining us to share her knowledge and top tips is Hearts-based interior designer Joanna Hughes. Hello, Jo.
Hi, Jen. Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight.
We are so pleased to have you. Now, full disclosure, Jo, I'm calling you Jo, not Joanna, because we do actually know each other. And you've even helped me with my kids' bedrooms. So I thought you were so clever and thoughtful in your design work. Maybe it would be really helpful for other people to hear about what they could add to their family home with some tips from you. I can't wait to delve in, but to start, why don't you just tell us a bit about how you became the designer you are, Jo? Because, wow, it has been quite the journey.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm quite new to this industry. As you know, I've been a primary school teacher for the last 22 years.
Wow.
My main career, but I've always loved design. And since having my two boys, I've been working part-time in school and kind of enhancing my design skills in any other opportunity. So I started to kind of renovate my own houses. And luckily, my husband is very good at DIY and pretty patient, happy to test out any wacky ideas that I had. And then really during the pandemic, actually, I was asked by a friend to help her with her family bathroom and her ensuite. And we spent hours, many enjoyable hours actually, on Zoom or kind of socially distanced meetups, designing her two bathrooms. And then we worked with a local fitter to install them. And we came up with two beautiful rooms and she was really thrilled with them. And I wasn't expecting to be paid for them. I just loved the process. And then when I went round to look at the kind of finished design, she produced a thank you card with some cash in it. And this was a massively pivotal moment for me because it made me realize that actually I could do this and I could earn a living from it. But I still had quite a long way to go. So I continued to get experience, build up contacts. I worked in a local upholstery studio on the minimum wage, part-time for 6 months alongside teaching. I became a consultant for an online paneling company, so doing ad hoc designs for their clients, and continued to do lots of kind of local small interior design jobs, mostly word of mouth people that I kind of know.
And all of that was still whilst part-time teaching, is that right?
Absolutely, yeah, and juggling my own household as well.
Wow.
So it's been a very full-on kind of 4 or 5 years. Anyway, this time last year, kind of May 2023, I put together a business plan because I realised that I was kind of ready. I had enough experience and enough drive to kind of leave teaching and do, you know, put my heart and soul into interiors. So I put a business plan together with my portfolio so far and got a little bit of funding to see me through this first kind of crucial year, really, where I wouldn't have my teaching salary. And I handed my notice in at school, worked through until July. And then the very first Monday of the summer holidays, I started two massive bathroom projects in Harpenden and haven't looked back.
Jo, it is incredible. It is a real story about finding something you are so passionate about and have a natural gift for. You know, obviously, normally things that we're most passionate about are things that we're quite good at because that's why we enjoy them. But the difference I've found between your story and many of us who enjoy dabbling in things is that you really went for it. You really decided you're going to go for it. And I find that so inspirational. And the fact now you have your own company, don't you? What's your company called?
Yep. So Joanna Hughes Interiors.
Exactly. It's there. It's doing business. And how is business now?
Business is booming, although it is slightly on hold until I finish my course, which I enrolled in last September. I've been doing a part-time interior design certificate at a very renowned design school in Chelsea Harbour called KLC, because everything I've learned to date was self-taught, really. And I wanted to make sure that I had some qualifications behind my kind of skill, I suppose. So that finishes in 3 weeks, and then I will be fully fledged and ready to work 5 days a week. And I've got some more business ready for then in the pipeline, some patient people waiting. So yeah, it's very exciting. Been a massive year of growth and learning for me, but I'm ready for it.
Incredible. So mum of two, ex-teacher, turned herself into businesswoman and professional interior designer. You're based in Harpenden, is that right, Jo?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we know that's a very family-friendly town, and obviously as a, with a young family yourself. Do you find you have a lot of projects that come in that are family-based, and do you enjoy family-based projects?
Yeah, lots and lots of family work. I've done all sorts in the last 4 years. Bedrooms, lounges, nerseries, playrooms, downstairs cloakrooms, lots of bathrooms. Bathrooms are my favourite. That's kind of my niche, my USP.
Really? Cool, because I think bathrooms must be the hardest thing to do. And also kind of very detailed, you know, taps. Is there anything exciting about a tap, Jo?
You'd be surprised. I love brassware and different coloured grout. All of those.
Grout. Grout gets you going, Jo. Good to know. Good to know.
So many colours to choose from. Yeah. So yeah, I have worked mostly for families, but couples too, and solo inhabitants. And each project has its own kind of challenges and opportunities. But it's really about using the space to the best of its ability and really thinking about function and flow, as well as, you know, the aesthetic outcome of that design.
And obviously, a designing for families and designing homes, they change over the years. You know, for a family changes and grows for what they need and what they want. So I was wondering maybe if we could go through a few stages of a family home and pick out a few rooms or moments, and you could just give us some ideas about how best to tackle them. And the one I wanted to start with, and it's no surprises why, is a baby's nursery, because indeed you did help me with my baby's nursery, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, it was so amazing. This was at a time when Jo was in that transition of trying to learn and grow, but whilst also being a teacher. And I was pregnant with my child, very limited budget as a solo mum, solo income, and had a box room I didn't know what to do with. And I met Jo, and she had all these ideas, and it was fantastic. And we worked together on it. And some of the things that were amazing, Jo, is that you really turned my head towards upcycling and repurposing things, which was just a lifesaver in terms of getting a beautiful nursery at an affordable cost. So I just thought you could maybe talk us through how you approach something like a box room with somebody who hasn't got much money but wants to make, obviously it's so precious for your newborn baby, a beautiful room to bring them home to. What do you need? What don't you need? How do you do it? What's your approach?
Well, first of all, when you're working with any sort of family, you really need to understand the needs of that particular household, you know, from everyone right down to the dog. And, you know, every stakeholder in that home needs to be considered within the design. And of course, budget is massive. And if you've got endless cash, then you can do obviously amazing things. But I actually really love working to quite a tight budget, because you can produce sort of really super outcomes with not a whole heap of money. And actually, one of my missions in my own interior design business is to bring interior design to make it more accessible for everyone. to not think about this myth that it's only for the rich and famous. But, you know, we outsource so much of our lives now. People have gardeners and cleaners and nannies and after school clubs and things like that. We're all so busy and overwhelmed with our day jobs and just juggling our own households that, you know, why shouldn't you outsource designing your kids' room or your lounge to somebody, and let's make it affordable.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so for a nursery, you can go wild with, you know, beautiful wallpapers and expensive cots and bits and pieces, but you can also kind of think about the sustainability and the longevity of that space and try to make it last more than each tiny stage of a child's life, because, you know, even when you're in it, in the trenches, you think, oh, you know, you're never going to not need the changing table, or, you know, you're always going to need a massive bookshelf with really thick cardboard books on. But the reality is that you only really need those things for like 18 months, 2 years, which is a drop in the ocean, you know, in your lifetime. So, you know, let's make those things functional and move with the times of your child and not spend heaps and heaps of money in the early days on things that you're not going to need for very long.
Yeah, because I remember when I got fixated on changing tables, I found the whole thing bizarre. It's obviously a piece of furniture I'd never factored into my life before. And actually, I hadn't thought about it, but you suggested the idea of a reclaimed chest of drawers that was big enough that then you can use the top of it and put on a changing topper, but then it can grow into just a chest of drawers for your then 3-year-old, 4-year-old, because you don't need a changing table, you know, past a few years. And instantly it was like, oh yeah, never thought of that. I was looking at all these expensive changing tables online. You know, it was little things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And just thinking about kind of sensible alternatives rather than thinking that you have to buy every single item of furniture for thousands of pounds. You absolutely don't need to do that. So yeah, I mean, think about a fairly neutral paint color and, you know, choose amazing accessories. Spend your money on, you know, a beautiful blind, nice lighting, storage, shelving, baskets, things that you really need. You know, you're in the middle of the night changing your baby, you want to be able to lay your hands on the wipes and the nappies straight away, but you don't want them to be spread all over the floor or, you know, unsightly in the daytime. So think about how you're going to arrange all of those things and how it will work best for you in that room.
Storage, oh, it's like the word that is like a hug when you're a mum. You just want storage. And I remember, you know, thinking, you helped me think about how to arrange where the nappies are. And it's actually at the top drawer of the chest of drawers below the changing table, because that is where you naturally gravitate to. And we did lots of measuring, didn't we, Jo, about how far you bend down for the changing table, because you don't want to bend down, you know, have a bad back when you're bending down and changing these bubbers, but or too high and they're rolling around. So it was just a thoughtful approach, but not a daunting approach to a room that you just need to think practically. And then exactly like you said, pick out a few beautiful accessories or like a small theme, but not go wild. I think you taught me I wanted a sort of safari vibe. And believe me, I'd have parked up a 4x4 in there if I could have and got a real giraffe. And you did pull me back a bit there, Jo, from that. So thank you. With a nod, with some highlights of green, with some taffeta, you know, art pieces, you know, the odd jungle animal stuffed toy, and lots of wicker baskets. And suddenly it just feels that vibe without being too much that vibe. And now my son is 3, I can tell you I'm so pleased. I don't have big baby elephant, you know, wallpaper everywhere, because I'd be repapering now. So you saved me there, Jo. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when you're pregnant, especially, it's really hard to see past, you know, the birth and the arrival of the baby and, you know, not think about, you know, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 10-year-old. And, you know, particularly when budget is tight, you really need to think about that sustainability of a space.
Yeah. And we repainted, didn't we? We repainted old furniture, repainted an old wardrobe, repainted a secondhand crib, all in the same beautiful green. And the room looked like a room I was really proud of. And it didn't look like something that was just full of secondhand stuff that we'd repurposed. So it's still my favourite room in the house. But then I want to keep going because kids get older and houses get busier. Maybe siblings arrive. Busy family homes, they just get full of stuff, don't they? Stuff, stuff, stuff. So as a designer, if you were maybe approaching a family home that is just feeling overcluttered, it's got stuff everywhere, what kind of tips or advice would you have for somebody who's looking around right now and thinking, yeah, that looks a bit like my house?
Well, I mean, it's very hard to declutter, isn't it, when we're in very busy lives and, you know, children are bringing things home from school left, right and centre, and there's nowhere to put the modelling from the reception class or the Minecraft cards or, you know, whatever it is. So again, really, it is about clever storage, and there are so many nice ways to store these things these days. It doesn't have to be unsightly. You could have a big floor bag with all the Lego in it, which you can then, you know, pull the drawstring at the end of the day and put in a drawer or under a sofa or out of the way and reclaim your kind of adult space. Baskets, drawers, shelving, cupboards with you know, nice doors and different handles on, so that you can pack everything away and you don't have to look at it. Yeah, and again, it is a relatively short period of time in the grand scheme of your life. So if you can dedicate a small space in your house, it doesn't have to be a whole room, to, you know, like a bay window area for, you know, your children's toys, and just keep them tidily away. And then, you know, eventually those things will hopefully gravitate to the bedroom, the child's bedroom. And they won't be in the main space of the house anymore. And then's your time to kind of make your lounge beautiful again with more kind of adult things.
Oh, I can't wait for the day, Jo. I am tripping up on train tracks right now. I can tell you that for nothing. I want to get my big sofa back in. But not yet. I'll do exactly as you said. I'll embrace the moment and embrace it. But I have taken your tip of baskets. Baskets are now my best friend. You know, they look nice, and I just get them cheaply from anywhere that I see them. Not expensive. You can get very expensive ones, obviously, but they don't have to be, do they? Stuff like that.
Well, they don't have to be, and you can mix and match. You know, you can get a couple of nice lidded baskets, but you can equally, you know, find different kind of size baskets in charity shops or IKEA, or, you know, where it's not going to break the bank.
Under the sofa is a good tip. Now, I thought of something, Jo, and I wanted to test out if you think this is a good idea, because I think this could be a new design hack that I've come up with myself, but you might say it's terrible. But you know, under cots, there's like those wooden trays, you know, that you normally put nappies on. A lot of cots come with them. Yep. I'm about to get rid of my cot, and I'm looking at this tray, and I'm thinking of turning it into a Lego tray that then I put under the sofa so my son can pull it out, play Lego, and then we slide it away. What do you think?
That is absolutely brilliant. It might need a repaint, but I think, okay, that we work.
Yes, I've come up with something that's a design hack. Woo!
Great idea. It's all about repurposing things and shopping your own home using items from different rooms, you know, to elevate a different space. And if you have to put a new handle on something or repaint it, that's not going to cost a fortune, but it's going to add to the sustainability of your house.
So the other room I very briefly wanted to touch on is maybe an older kid's room, a teen room. Because I remember as a teenager, your room does become a special kind of sanctuary, and you don't want babyish things. You want cool things. If a parent is trying to help their child have a nice room in the teenage years, any top tips?
Okay, I think this is quite an interesting subject at the moment, particularly with lots in the press about technology and smartphones and children feeling very anxious and like getting overwhelmed with the outside world. I think a teenage bedroom really does, as you say, need to be a sanctuary. You know, the teenage years are a huge period of change for all teenagers. School is, you know, a hard place to be. Lots of overstimulation with screen time and, you know, keeping up with friends and all of that. So really creating a calm kind of neutral space for your teenager to relax in. I think, you know, this might be an unpopular opinion for kids themselves, but I think it should be a tech-free zone if possible.
Wow. I mean, that is controversial, but I totally am with you. I am totally with you.
Yeah, I think good lighting. So, you know, create atmosphere in there for different times of the day. Have a decent working space so that kids can do their homework and feel kind of productive. Give them pin boards or beautiful bits of wall space where they can put posters and prints and you know, add their personality. Get them involved in the choices, you know, say, right, we're going to redecorate your room, or we want to kind of uplift your space. What would you like in there? You know, within reason, obviously. You know, use it as a bonding experience to help them kind of be involved in the choices and make their space really somewhere that they want to enjoy and go back to, you know, every evening, or wake up in the morning and feel like reinvigorated and enjoy. And also help them organize their things. You know, there are so many things they have to remember for school, for clubs. You know, help them organize their clothing. You know, maybe they need a basket for each day of the week with different items in for different clubs or different homeworks or whatever it might be. Again, it's about storage, it's about organization, and yeah, just creating a really kind of nice, atmospheric, calm space.
And I think colour has a lot to play in mood. It does for me. So rather than maybe, I remember growing up, teenage bedrooms, you think these dark, dingy kind of caves. There's a lot to be said for an uplifting colour and a positive, bright light, isn't there, in maybe a teenager's room?
Yeah, absolutely. But be careful with the colour, because certain colours can make you feel hungry or angry or make you less productive with your work. But that's another whole subject on its own.
Oh, maybe we'll have to have you back, Jo, to discuss what colours do to us, because I want to know. There's definitely a colour somewhere near my kitchen that's making me hungry. So we'll check back in about that. But we're out of time, Jo. I just wanted to, I could talk to you, obviously, for hours about all of this, but I really have enjoyed learning today about these few rooms and getting some more tips. I hope our listeners have too. If people wanted to get in touch with you, Jo, and you are Hearts-based, you work all around Hearts?
Yeah, and into London, St Albans, Hitchin, yeah, around and about, yeah.
How would people find you, Jo?
So my Instagram handle is Joanna Hughes Interiors, or you can email me joannahughesinteriors@gmail.com. And yeah, all my contact details and everything are on Instagram.
And so let's just spell that out. It's Joanna, J-O-A-N-N-A, and Hughes is H-U-G-H-E-S. That's how you spell the Hughes. Jo, it's been a total pleasure. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us and the listeners of The Parent Show. And I hope we will get you back soon to talk about those mood colours.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Take care, Jo. Bye.
Bye.
The Parent Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and tonight I'm delighted to be joined by Helen, who is Helen Whittington. You might very well know her. She's a local celebrity in her own right. And and Helen is a volunteer and events coordinator for the St Albans Community Pantry. So, Helen, thanks a million for joining us.
Hi, Lydia. Good to catch up.
Yeah, it's great to catch up with you. So, I know you as DJ Jungle and the owner, you founded it, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but that was 13 years ago now.
Wow. Wow.
But yeah, still our business. I thought I'd outgrow it. But in fact, as the children get older, the parents are still the same. They want the same things for their children. So, it's still a great job and part of the community.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's brilliant to hear. But that's not enough. You're not happy with just having one job. You actually have another calling, if you like. So you're a volunteer with the St. Albans Community Pantry, right?
Yeah, that's right. I founded that they were in 2020 doing deliveries for people that needed the food aid. And I was able to do that, given that our business was closed at that time. And of course, then COVID's behind us. And I did realize that they've expanded, they've grown a lot, and they actually need some fundraising help as well.
So for those who are listening, who for some reason don't know what the St. Albans Community Pantry is, will you tell them what it entails?
Yeah, of course. So as I mentioned, it's been established about 4 years, and it's based down at the St. Albans Enterprise Centre, Porter's Wood, which is very close to you. And it opens of an evening where we rescue food that's going to waste at a supermarket or other lovely bakeries and local places. They donate the food. We have volunteers that collect it, drive it to the pantry. And then we open of an evening called the Community Fridge, where people can come and help themselves. And those people, we're not means tested. They don't ask questions. We just ask them to help themselves if they need it, take as much as they need. And it saves the food from going into landfill. Some of it will be saved for the next day. If it's not a use-by date, it's a best before. There's a lot of fresh food. It's very good quality. It's just surplus to the supermarkets. And then that will go into boxes, which we deliver around the area for those people that can't access food for some reason. And there's also the community breakfasts that happen at Fleetville Community Centre. I think it's Cotton Mill Cycling Hub for a community lunch, and also St. Luke's, which is Tuesday, which is open for a supper. So really good work in the community and a lot of volunteers that help the operation end to end.
It's, I have to say, as community initiatives goes, it's one of my favorite. It's such a win-win for everybody involved. You know, yeah, it saves food going to landfill or going to waste. It goes to people who need it. I love that it's not means tested and that it's just on trust, and people turn up and take what they need. There's a wonderful atmosphere there too in the fridge. Everybody's a volunteer and just turns up to help out.
That's right. So the operation works very well and it does serve the community. And we get a lot of people donating food and very generously volunteering their time. But we're not really raising any funds through that operation because the users of the pantry are not paying towards the food, unless it's one of the suppers, breakfasts or lunches where you can make a gesture to pay what you feel. But essentially, we're looking to do events separate from the pantry, like the supper clubs, that will actually raise some money to help the infrastructural costs.
Of course, because you've got overheads, right? I mean, you're not getting the fridge for free. I mean, everybody works for free, but those overheads alone and electricity must be
the rent,
a burden.
Yeah, that's true. And they're only increasing, unfortunately.
Right. So you've taken on a role that sounds like it suits you very well. You're an events organizer. So what does that entail, and what have you got coming up?
So I've been tasked with doing supper clubs, which is essentially choosing a chef, perhaps doesn't have a restaurant of their own, but are well known locally, with a venue that probably doesn't open of an evening. So therefore, we've got a unique offering, a supper club where we've got a chef offering their food in a venue, which we've hopefully got for free because we're a charity. So we can price it quite competitively. And we've already had one successful event. And then we're looking to grow, and all the monies raised from those evenings will be reinvested into the St. Albans Community Pantry.
Fantastic. So tell us, how did the first one go? Where was it?
It went really well. Yes, it was at Pog and Poll on a Thursday evening. It was all vegetarian.
That's the kitchen shop on London Road, right?
Yeah, that's really kind of them to let us use it. It's a beautiful space, very clean and very minimalist, and some fantastic appliances. So Danielle Durant from the Cobbled Kitchen was our chosen chef for doing the demonstrations there. And she had a 7-course taster menu. And there was a lot of ladies in attendance. And we showed a video as well, which explained the role of the pantry. So it was a learning curve as well for us to see how well it would be received and if we'd priced it right and if people had a really good time, which we got great feedback from. And we're running another one, which we're doing at my venue, DJ's Play Jungle, just because I'm in control of that. It's easy, it's free. And we've got the wonderful Alec Tommaso from The Weeping Chef, who's well known locally, also been on MasterChef and has won awards. He is quite meat-based. He butchers his own food. So he was also doing a vegetarian alternative, but I'm expecting to get bigger numbers here because he caters from his own trailer. He smokes his own meat. He produces his own salads. And it's all about the spices and the sauces. So even though it's quite meat-based, he says the flavors can be done for vegan food as well. So we're pricing that at the same £35. And that's on the 14th of June, a Friday night. Very soon.
Very soon. It's, coming up fast. And so £35. And what do you get for that, Helen?
So we will have a welcome drink. So that will be a non-alcoholic alternative, if you prefer, and also a 3-course meal. So we're intending to sit down for food, although he will serve it from outside because that is his street food van. And pakora is on the menu for a starter. And for the main, I think it's beef brisket with sides of grilled vegetables and a rosti potato. And we have rescued food as well. So we're already seeing we get bread in the pantry, which we can freeze and potentially do garlic bread. Or we have a glut of beans at the moment, French beans. And he did say, if you can blanch those, please, then they'll freeze. And then he'll make a nice vegetable side dish with that. And then the vegetarian alternative. And he thinks that the dessert could be a special bread and butter pudding, which will be heated, so a really enjoyable 3-course meal.
Sounds delicious. I'm a big fan of bread and butter pudding, I have to say. And so how can you buy tickets? So you need people to move quickly, right? Because you need to cater
to
the numbers.
Yes, we do, ideally. Because Alex's such a great chef, he doesn't feel fear about the numbers. He said, as many people as you can get. I said, really? We can fit 100 people in here. He said, yeah, exactly that. So we were just wanting to supersize this event really so that we can raise money for charity. But yeah, £35, it covers your food and a drink, and it's going to have entertainment as well of the Sherwood St Albans Singers, which are a couple of teenagers that are doing their own acoustic music, playing guitar, really well received and getting exposure. So it'll be great fun. And it's all a link on our socials, St Albans Community Pantry on Instagram, on Facebook, and it's being very widely shared on all the groups.
Fantastic. And so this is the second one, so hopefully that'll go well. How frequently are you going to do these? Any other chefs we know of that are in the pipeline?
We're open to suggestions. We're looking at different venues. We've had Brampton Interiors commit to do a date for us, and we're looking for a chef to do that, although they haven't really got the cooking facilities. So it might be somebody that does more cold food, canapes, or actually pre-prepares.
Louise and Dave are fantastic at Brampton Interiors. They're really,
really
lovely community people.
And again, a lovely showroom. So it really keeps it local and walkable. So it's really part of the community. And yeah, we've had a good response with a lot of venues and a lot of chefs that I've made contact with and have said, you know, like Verdi's, potentially they can open of one evening. Just give us some time, some dates, and potentially what numbers are you expecting? So we started quite small. We want to grow big. And in fact, we'll likely have a ball at St. Michael's Manor next year, which is what we're working up to.
Sounds brilliant. And is it, so from the first one that you run, did it raise a decent amount of money?
Yeah, we got about £860 for that. So there were some donations made in the evening as well, which was very kind of people, and even people that couldn't come said, I'd donate my money. But we had some great giveaways from Pog and Poll, and really appreciate Danielle Durant as well, who helped us raise that money without taking those costs.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, we've had Danielle on the show recently talking about the Cobble Kitchen. It sounds brilliant. Lovely local initiative. A great way to get to know new people as well, I'd imagine, Helen.
It really is, yeah. I'm wanting to branch out to new people that have perhaps moved to the area quite often. They volunteer at the pantry. It's a kind of rewarding place to be. And I think these supper clubs give you something back as well, because for the amount that you're paying, you're going to get excellent food and entertainment and a free space and good company, because, you know, it's a small city, but a really big community.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there. So just remind us again of the socials, and that's the best way to book, right?
Yeah, ideally. It's stalbanscommunitypantry.org for our website, which is at St Albans Community Pantry if you're on Facebook or Instagram. And a lot of people have shared it on the groups, such as All About St Albans, St Albans People, St Albans Mums. So it should be very easy to find. Any problems, look up Helen Whittington.
Brilliant. Oh, you're going to get yourself into trouble now. You'll be getting DMs on Facebook no end.
Hopefully.
That sounds great. Really brilliant. Helen, good on you and the whole team at the Community Pantry. You do fantastic work. You really do.
Well, I hope it's going to be a success, because we want to keep up paying all of the rent and the electricity costs. And also we actually buy food, which makes a more balanced box for the users of the pantry as well.
Of course, because you can't just rely on the giveaways from the supermarkets to get everything that people need.
You're not sure what you're going to get.
Fantastic. Brilliant initiative. Thanks a million for joining us today, Helen.
Thanks so much for your support as well. I know the Parents Show has been going a decade or more.
Where... That's right, 13 years, I think. We're going now as well. But it's brilliant. Brilliant to see our community coming together around events like this that are great fun, I'd imagine, and really worthwhile as well.
Thanks for your support.
Pleasure, Helen. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.